Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening and happy holidays. We are well into December.
We're into it.
Making through. Do you have any elves? Do we have any elves on a shelf in any of our homes? Because I do. They come. Nope. Our guest is shaking her head.
I'm glaring at you.
I don't have to do any of the work, right? It's Samson and the elves.
I like David Reed from the Astoria Warrington Chamber of Commerce,
yes,
dressed as an elf and going around.
I don't think he's done that recently.
I don't know.
We might have an idea for the Seaside Chamber, though.
But I don't care for them in my home.
I know. It's a lot of work. Again, thankfully, it's not me. It's Sansa, but yeah. The elf on a shelf.
All right.
They have lots of fun.
My opinion of you just went down a couple of notches.
We have a wonderful guest. We have Sadie Mercer. She's the executive director of the Seaside Chamber of Commerce and so many other things we're going to talk about. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me today.
I actually now can't even believe that you made it.
I made an error in my calendar yesterday, but I'm so happy to be here today.
Yeah, well, you've got your hands full, and we're going to get to all of that.
Well, we'll see if you're still happy in 20 minutes.
Yeah, 28 more minutes.
So we should get right to it, because there is a lot. I am intimidated by both of your schedules.
I know. Yep. So, we were talking moms and work and all the fun stuff.
Yeah, and I was feeling very inadequate that my busy schedule really doesn't compare.
That's okay.
All right, so we've got old-fashioned St. Nick in the house on the 15th.
That's nice.
At the Flavel House. We're in the midst of tea and plum pudding right now every weekend.
I love it.
The 26th through the 30th. Have you made your reservations?
I haven't.
Your clan always comes.
I know, and it's parties
and
of...
You're big enough. You're big enough that you have a reservation.
Right. What did you decide? What the party is? It six or
really
more?
Six. Yeah.
Six or more. You call and make a reservation.
Yeah.
Then they have the table all set for you and
ready to go. We'll elbow everybody away to make sure that the table is ready when your group gets there.
And this is kid friendly if your kids are ready for tea.
Yes.
Right. I mean, it is a formal event.
And we do always have to remind people it is a fundraiser. Technically speaking, it is a fundraiser.
Oh, for sure.
So kids do not get a huge discount.
Right.
They are the same price because they're getting the same amount and they're taking up the same number of chairs.
But my kids, even when they were even younger, they like the getting dressed up. Right.
Yes.
And then they're expected to behave, which they do for other people. It's amazing.
Well, Mark and I have been keeping a secret from you.
Oh.
Because you send Mark.
I do. I send my husband. It's a tradition every year. He has to take the kids and the cousins and his sister and Beth, who's sitting here with us. Yep. They all go.
No.
Big party.
But no, they're very well behaved.
Okay.
But we do know what they eat and what they don't eat.
Yes.
All right. And then Thursday Night Talks, Rex Zeke.
Oh, he's a fave.
It's been a while since he's spoken locally, at least I think so. So he's going to be here at our Thursday Night Talk on December 18th.
What's his topic?
He's going to talk about Lewis and Clark, their time at Tongue Point.
Oh, okay.
That action-packed, you know, he wrote a whole book about their time here at the mouth of the Columbia.
Was it raining?
It was raining. But all kinds of crazy, action-packed, little-known stories that he's going to share.
Okay. You're being serious.
I am. I'm totally serious.
This is fun.
It's going to be a really good talk. Thursday Night Talks, December 18th, Rex Zeke.
Fun.
So we're really excited. And then Santa's also going to be at the Column on December 20th.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So shall we get right to the the big history highlights here?
Yes.
All right. So these are things that happen tomorrow, December 8th. As always, icebreakers or perhaps the final answer on Jeopardy, which if it is and you get it right, you owe us half of your winnings. So December 8th.
So set on public radio.
That's right. 1542, Mary, Queen of Scots is born. Do we care?
Queen Mary, well.
Because loyal listeners know I don't care.
Right. But you also created this list,
I care
a little bit.
I thought maybe some people would care. 1776, George Washington's retreating army crosses the Delaware River from New Jersey to Pennsylvania.
Right.
Hey, have we been watching Ken Burns?
You're really hoping.
The American Revolution.
Yeah, I know. You're hoping that it's just going to
it's good.
Really go up in ratings.
It's really good.
I know. Yeah. Okay.
And I like
that I haven't watched it.
He's reinforcing. I have said repeatedly to anybody who will ask.
They didn't win.
Or care, exactly. that George Washington, all he did was not lose. Yeah. We didn't win the revolution. The British gave up.
Yeah.
We won a few key battles, but really we just had to not lose. And the British had to win, and they didn't, and we didn't.
So. Key points in history. Yep. And, how you retell the story too matters, yeah, right?
And that special, the whole series kind of says that. 1919, John Maynard Keynes predicts economic chaos from the Treaty of Versailles.
Oh,
he writes the economic consequences of the peace, a blistering critique of how the treaty that ended World War One would wreak havoc, economic and political havoc across Europe. And he was right.
Sure.
He was dead on right. Some historians actually argue there is no World War II. It's really just a continuation of World
right.
War I.
Right. It didn't improve.
With a 20-year pause. All right. 1940. I put this one just for you football fans out there. 1940, the Bears beat the Redskins in an NFL championship game. And the score? 73-0.
Oh, wow. That is a fun one.
Don't you just feel for the poor other team there?
I do, but if you're the team that's winning, it's just like fabulous the whole time.
At some point, you just got to ease up a little bit.
I don't know.
That's brutal. 1943, Jim Morrison is born. I like the Doors.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 1980, John Lennon is shot.
Oh, 1980. Yeah. I didn't remember that it was 1980 for some reason, but okay.
Okay, were you even alive?
Yes, just barely. I mean.
All right. 1985. One of the first personal computer shops opens in Mission Valley, California. It's called the Byte, BYTE, the Byte Shop. It sells the first 50 Apple I computers.
Oh.
Which I never remembered this, which retail for $666.66.
Oh.
That seems very odd to me. Why would they have priced it that way?
Well, there was obviously a purpose.
It's very precise.
Right.
Yeah. And our history highlights of the day, the things that I think had the most impact on history. And I chose two.
Ooh.
And I would be open to an argument that I shouldn't have included both.
I know. Have you ever done two?
I have.
Okay.
Actually, I did three once. So 1949 on this date, December 8th, Chinese nationalists move capital to Taiwan as they steadily lose ground to the communist forces of Mao Zedong. Chinese nationalist leaders under Chiang Kai-shek depart to the island of Taiwan, creating two Chinas.
Right.
Causing a dilemma across the world, and especially for the United States.
What do you do when you take over another country? Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And which one is the real one? So,
right.
So I felt like that had a big impact. But then also, of course, on this day, 1941, the United States declares war on Japan in the famous speech, "A day that will live in infamy." That's my FDR imitation. Yes.
Well done.
So.
Yeah, well done.
Very
was
true.
It?
Yeah.
She's just
looking at you like, okay.
So those are my two.
Yeah, I agree. Both. Yeah. I mean, obviously one is very U.S. centered, but it affects the entire world. And yeah.
Both kind of affect the whole world.
They do.
That's why I trouble choosing.
You did okay.
So, all right.
All right. I guess we
agree. There's no good transition there. Although two things.
Yes.
And juggling two things for our history highlight,
yes.
Juggling many things.
Is Sadie Mercer.
I'm terrible at
segues. Yeah, I was going to say, lovely segue.
Yeah.
That was an attempt. It really was.
So I reached out to her because she's the executive director at the Seaside Chamber of Commerce, but she does so many other things, including she's also the owner of the Seaside Oceanfront Inn, the Beachside Inn, and White Cap Catering Company.
That's right.
Yeah. And you have three children.
Yep.
Ages.
I have all boys, 15, 12, and 8.
Oh, sorry. My goodness.
Yep. No, they're great. They're perfect children. They really are. They don't beat each other up. There's never any arguments in the house. It's actually
jackpot.
Really great. Yeah, yeah.
So three different personalities then too.
Quite different personalities,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, because you'd have to, otherwise they wouldn't get along, right? I mean,
yeah.
If they're too similar.
No, they meld very well, and they get along and they play well together, and they're actually good friends on top of being brothers, which I couldn't ask for more for that.
I love that.
Yeah.
And being the youngest of three, I assume that the youngest is your favorite and the best.
No. my youngest, if any of the three were going to give me a run for my money, it was my youngest. It is my youngest. I have a feeling that that's probably fit that mold too.
That charts, definitely.
Yeah. The troublemakers are definitely going to be the third born. They're all great and they all have their own passions. And anyway, my 15-year-old has always been the kind of the sheriff. He was born an old soul, and so he kind of sheriffs around his brothers, and it actually works out relatively well. It's great.
Perfect.
They all have their own niche. Yeah.
So tell us, we want to learn a little bit more about you. So let's go back in time. Where did you grow up?
So I was born on Vashon Island, which is between Seattle and Tacoma in the Puget Sound, and lived there until my high school years, and then we moved to Port Townsend. And that's actually, and we can talk about that later, but that's actually where I had my first experience with a Chamber of Commerce, was moving to Port Townsend. And so that has always stuck out in my head as kind of the first example of coming into a town and being welcomed. That was by the Chamber of Commerce. And then we moved, I met my husband, we had classic cars. And so I met my husband when I was a junior in high school, and we both showed our cars, our classic cars at our classic car show in Port Townsend.
Oh my God.
there's so much we gotta
Okay, we're going to come back to the classic cars.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that too. But I'm interested first, the island that you...
Vashon.
Yeah, how big is that? Because I don't know what that is.
Vashon is about 10 miles across. It's kind of the bedroom community for Seattle and definitely for Microsoft employees now.
Okay. Is there a school there or are you getting on a ferry?
There is a school. Nope, there is a school there. It is ferry only over to the island. It's a small community. If I were to guess, I'd say there's probably 8,000 people that live there, maybe. And
so, talk about growing up on an island.
Yeah, going over to Seattle was the trip. You know, the all day. Okay, we got to go to Seattle, but otherwise, it was pretty similar to living in Seaside, in that there's a lot nearby, but you do have to travel to it. So, yeah,
so is it at all island life? I mean, do most people have a boat, or is this just
island
and you're getting on like a car, ferry or whatever and going to work in Seattle?
Yeah, most folks commute over to Seattle or Tacoma. There's three different boats that leave the island and so go off from Seattle, Tacoma, and then over to essentially Bremerton sort of area. Now my brain is completely gone.
Well, Port Townsend.
Port Townsend is at the north part of the sound.
Okay. So I will throw my images of Swiss Family Robinson out the window here.
Yeah.
And even like Vancouver Island.
I mean, no, and we could have definitely rode ostriches. That could have been a thing, if only. A girl can dream.
An ostrich reference. I like her a lot.
So did you feel like it was very different, especially when you moved to Port Townsend? And you're like, oh, this is, because that is it, while still small, it was bigger.
Yeah, for sure. And it was my first high school year too, so that was a change for me. But Port Townsend is quite unique. It's a tourist town as well. Vashon is not a tourist town. It's a bedroom community. So moving to a tourist town, Port Townsend is it's a Victorian seaport, and it's where, from what I'm told, that it should have become Seattle. So if the train had continued into Port Townsend, then Port Townsend would have developed into what Seattle would be. But then they said that they didn't want to run the railroad that far up, and so they ended it in Seattle. So the boats now have to come down Puget Sound to port in Seattle rather than port in Port Townsend.
Oh my goodness.
So, because they've kept all their buildings Victorian, and they have lots of festivals surrounding that as well. The Victorian Festival, as growing up, was really entertaining. And so all the buildings are being restored, and they have, just like we have Fort Stevens, they have Fort Warden. But in a dissimilarity, Fort Warden has been completely updated. So they've kept it historic, but they rent it out for stays, and it's a conference center. And so the whole grounds of Fort Warden is a conference center now. And so it was fun growing up around that, because they have so many festivals, from the Fiddle Tunes Festival and Wooden Boat Festival. kayak symposium and so much more. And so, yeah, a lot of things to do in Port Townsend, especially surrounding that.
And I heard they had classic car shows there.
Yeah, they have classic car shows. Yes. Yeah.
So tell us about your car.
Yes. I had a 1962 Chevy Bel Air. It looks like an Impala, except it has an engine that when you hit the gas, it doesn't go anywhere. And it was just a six cylinder and super heavy. And so it was super fun. And it was teal, and I loved it. And my husband, he's a couple of years older than I am, and he had a 67 Mustang. And so it was both our first time showing our car. I was 17 at the time, and brought it down and started polishing it up. And his opening line was, "Hey, looks like you have some rust there." I'm like, "Oh, fine, I'll keep you," you know. The rest is history, as they say. And anyway,
how does a 17-year-old get that car?
At that time, those cars were inexpensive. I preferred classics because of the look of the classic. I didn't just want a Toyota or something. I wanted something that had style. And so I looked around, and one of our friends, somebody that we knew by coincidence, had this vehicle, and she was willing to sell it. And I was working at the time at a little gift shop in Port Townsend, and so I had made enough money that I was able to afford it. And it was in great shape too, like it was somewhat restored on the outside. It had gotten a new paint job, because otherwise it was like baby food pea green. That was the original color, and so they had repainted it like a turquoise color, and the inside was the original pea green. But
that was a popular color.
Yeah, I know.
And the kind of like weird blue too, right? I want to say like dull blue.
Florida aqua.
Right.
It was the time of like avocado colored appliances stuff, you know. Yeah.
The muted yellow.
It was a choice. Yeah.
But I heard your car had some rust on it.
Yeah. Just a little bit. Just a little on the fender.
And
yeah.
Where are these two fabulous vehicles today?
So we sold them when I started.
Okay. Thanks for being here. Next week's guest.
I started driving for a living. So I started a welcome wagon, essentially a welcome wagon business in Eugene. And so I sold that, because when I purchased the car, gas was 99 cents a gallon, and when it gets like 5 miles to the gallon, it's a little bit hard when you're driving for a living. And then my husband sold his to a Boys and Girls Club, who ended up making a fair bit of money off of raffling it. So it's kind of good to know it went to a cause that
and somebody that wanted it, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
But you miss them both.
Yes, I do miss them both. Yes, although at $4.50 a gallon, I probably don't miss the gas mileage, but
not at all. Yeah. So I just heard you mentioned was that your first business that you owned?
Yes, okay. It was. Yeah. So.
So tell us how you got there. And in high school, were you already sort of eyeing that you had this entrepreneur set? Along with some skills to make it happen.
I was actually just joking with one of my coworkers today that when I was in high school, I wanted to be a motivational speaker. That was my, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a motivational speaker. And I found out quite quickly that in order to be a motivational speaker, you actually have to have a message. And I didn't have that. So that was a little bit of a challenge. I didn't plan to have that as my career. So when we moved to Port Townsend, we received a welcome wagon basket, welcome basket from the Chamber of Commerce. They brought it in a basket, and it had like a loaf of bread from the local bakery, a wooden coin from the local ice cream shop that you could go get that, a toothbrush from the dentist, a bunch of things from the different businesses that was just a welcome to our town, including a literature about these businesses. So when because you're new to town, you know nothing, to have that be something that was given out to us was really helpful. And I shouldn't admit this because it definitely makes me look like a hoarder, but we kept that basket in our little cabinet in our kitchen for years and years. And so when we would need something, we would go back and reference that. And so when I moved to Eugene, we moved from there to Seattle and then Eugene, I said, boy, there's nothing like this in Eugene. And to try to build the community, community feeling, we didn't get anything when we moved to Eugene. And so I thought, boy, that's something that could really be a thing. And of course, so Welcome Wagon true to his name, was back from the wagon train days. And so the settlers who had already settled would bring provisions to the folks that had traveled across the country and bring them a welcome basket. So it was the welcome wagon that would go and visit. And so I was born in the wrong era, because that was not the plan. That was not as well received. When I brought free gifts to those who had purchased businesses and to those who had moved to Eugene, I did not get that you brought me something. Thank you so much. It's great. Oh. Instead, it was like, why are you bringing something to me, you alien?
Oh,
so,
my God.
What do you want?
Yeah, and what do you want? Yeah, it was very, very much guarded. And so that was an interesting lesson. But I was 21 at the time. And when you're 21, you think you know everything and that it's the best idea ever. And clearly, I was the same way. I thought, boy, it's going to be great. Everybody's going to love this. The advertisers are going to love this because it's a personal connection. And the people who are receiving it, they're going to love it because it's a free gift and welcoming them to town. And it was,
it didn't work.
No, now I know everything, but then I didn't, So anyway, but yeah, so that was my first dive into business.
So what did you do next then?
So I morphed that into a corporate gift basket company. And then, awesome. And then yeah. we moved here, and I ended that business, and then we moved here and purchased the Seaside Oceanfront Inn in 2013.
And is that what brought you here? The ability to purchase that, or what?
No.
How was Seaside on your radar?
So, my husband was in, he was in sales. He was selling stuff for a cabinet hardware company, basically anything that goes into a cabinet, but the wood. And it sold to a major corporation. It went from a family run business to a major corporation, and every day was misery. And I said, well, we're not going to do this forever. After he suffered for longer than he should have, I said, what do you actually want to do? And he said, I think I want to go into the hotel business. He had helped his grandparents run hotels in Port Townsend. And so he thought that would be something that he wanted to do. So we started looking. And at that time, my 15-year-old was a year and a half. I had him in the baby backpack. We were schlepping him all up and down the coast and all up in Washington and Oregon. And I'm sure the real estate agents thought, like, look at these yokels, they got a baby on the back and there's no chance that they're going to buy this hotel. And, for all the hotels that we looked at, and we hadn't had any experience with Seaside at all. And the first time we came through Seaside, we drove right through. We did not turn off on Broadway. We didn't see what was there. We had no idea. And then a hotel came up for sale, not the one that we purchased, a different hotel came up for sale. And we decided to make a specific trip up to Seaside. And we turned off and then started talking with the folks and realized, like, Seaside has a lot to offer year round. Like, this is a busy joint and, great place to do business. And I called the chamber. Al Smiles was the chamber director at the time. And I talked to Al and we said, we want to do business in Seaside. We don't know what yet, because the hotel that we looked at wasn't our jam. And we don't know what we want to do yet, but we want to do business in Seaside. And he said, you want to do business in Seaside? We want you to do business in Seaside. What can we do for you to get you to Seaside? That was my first entrance into Seaside's mentality for doing business. Al Smiles was the man. So I actually got to meet him recently. I hadn't met him before, because by the time he had introduced me to Seaside saying, what can we do for you? A new director had come on, Susan Huntington. And so I never got to meet the man until about a month and a half ago when he came and walked in my door.
Did he remember?
Nope, had no idea. No. And I said, I have to tell you, you've had a tremendous impact on me and our moving to Seaside and kind of that feeling of, welcomeness and of Seaside wanting people to come in for business. And so anyway, so it was a great moment that I could, because he lives in Wales, so he doesn't make it over very often,
right.
And so it was a great moment to be able to.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, that's a fantastic story. And I love that. So talk about the chamber that introduced you, Al, and whenever you did walk into the building, to the chamber now.
Yeah. So we had become a member of the chamber quite quickly after we moved. And immediately, both the chamber and the Downtown Development Association have weekly meetings. And I was welcomed in by one of the members who said, you have to come sit next to me. And we're good friends to this day. She's great. It's Ruth from the Hillcrest. Ruth Swenson.
Lovely.
She's amazing. If you haven't met Ruth, you must. She's fantastic. And so she said, you come sit next to me and I'm going to introduce you. And so she introduced me at the very start. And that meeting. We have them weekly for the chamber, and then the Downtown Development Association has their meetings weekly. And it really is a great group. That between 30 and 40 people for each of them meet weekly, and we just have a lot of energy, and we all have our own shtick, and everybody makes fun of me for being the loudmouth, go figure. but everybody kind of has the thing where we all, you know, tongue in cheek, make fun of each other for, and that has a community. We've built the community. They've built the community, and I'm just a part of it. And so I'm really fortunate to be the director right now, because now I get to take that, which has already been quite established and built, and try to grow that. So I'm really excited for that opportunity.
All while still operating two hotels and a catering company.
Yeah.
And a family.
I'm glad I have my husband. He manages all of that bit. So happy
tell us
for that.
A little bit about that transition too, from the restaurant and hotel to the two hotels. Did you always have the two? I didn't realize that.
We bought the one in 2013 and the one, okay, and then the second in 2015.
Okay.
Yeah. And the restaurant came with the first one. And so we had Maggie's for 10 years.
On the prom.
Maggie's on the prom. Yes. So yeah, but that was a fun venture. And part of me does quite miss that.
Me
because,
too.
Because it was my way of being a part of the community too. It's a little bit more challenging with hotels because locals don't stay in local hotels very often. And so, you know, but the restaurant, I can see everybody coming in and socialize. And so that I do miss that aspect, but catering has its own fun too. So,
yeah. And so what kind of gigs do you cater? Small, large, all sizes?
Yeah, we've catered up to 600 people at the fairgrounds. So that was that was a busy day. And then we cater just private events for two also. So everything in between, and full service catering. So
and
we have
is the chef?
Yes, his name is Eric Cleaver. He's been with us for several years, which is great. And so it's nice to have him. And so, yeah, he works for us, and he's just great. He's just such a friendly guy and great at his job.
Do I even dare ask what's next?
Oh, bigger events, more, with the chamber. We run the Seaside Beach Volleyball Tournament, which I'm claiming is the largest in the world. It can be debated that we're the largest or the second largest, depending on how you think about it.
Until somebody proves you wrong.
Exactly. We're in battles with Venice, Italy, of all places. You
maybe
know,
you should go visit.
I think
check
so.
It out.
I think so. I need to do a scouting mission. and then we have, of course, our Yuletide, which just wrapped up this last weekend. And we have our 4th of July celebration, which is always massive. And so I'm really looking forward to this year as the city is continuing to support that, because it brings a tremendous amount of economic impact for both 4th of July and volleyball.
And those are
millions.
Chamber events. But in addition, I mean, the city hosts so many different events, right? Private events, large and small.
They
so,
do,
I mean,
yeah.
People are in and out of your doors all the time.
They are, yeah.
So I wanted to ask, but I want to make sure we had enough time to plug the chamber a little bit there and your businesses. From your first, you drove through, you didn't even stop, and then you go back and you check it out a little bit. What made you fall in love with Seaside, and what makes you stay here?
Yeah.
What makes me stay is the people who are here, for sure. What made me fall in love with it is the general vibe when you are drive down Broadway, when you see how the businesses are open for extended hours, and when there's an uptick in business, they open for longer. It's a departure from where I grew up. That was not the case. And so it's really nice to see a town that really leans in to tourism.
Well, I'm so glad we snagged you all those years ago. Good job, Al Smiles. Well, it's so great to get to know you a little bit more. Again, this was Sadie Mercer, the executive director of the Seaside Chamber of Commerce, owner of Seaside Oceanfront Inn, Beachside Inn, and Whitecap Catering Company. Thanks so
much
and happy holidays.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week, and go make some history.
Thank you for joining us for an adventure in history. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.